that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and coming to you live from a snowy radio ranch this morning, about 17 degrees outside, and that's about normal for winter time. But we welcome you here this Saturday morning, January 19th, and we've got a full crew here. Good morning, Brother Josh from way down south.
Good morning, sir.
And thanks for joining us. And we've got Brother Tim from the Midwest, Nebraska. Tim, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And of course, the men here. Good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And good morning. Save the best for last. Good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And we do thank you for joining us, Remnant, here on this Saturday morning. And got a little bit of everything going on. Storms rolling through from the Midwest to the Northeast. And I think Josh mentioned a little stormy down there. And we've got more snow in the forecast, so yeah, it's kind of that time of the year. But we do welcome you for joining us here. Well, Jason, we're going to go to you to open us up in prayer, and then we'll just move on with the program.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we talk about this morning, Father. We pray for the remnant across this land, Father, and we ask that you tend to their needs, that you give them wisdom, strength, knowledge, and understanding. We pray that you protect us from the diabolical deeds of our enemies, Father, that we hold up that shield of faith and we extinguish those fiery darts of the evil one that come against us in all ways, shapes, and forms, and ask for those attacks to be made null and void, Father. We just cling to you and we just ask that you just use us in a mighty and powerful way, Father, for the destruction of fortresses and to bring down these these things that are attacking you and your people and your land, Father. We desire for this land to be a God-fearing land once again, Father, for people to reverence you and hold you up in high esteem and to look to your ways first and foremost. And we pray, Father, for us to be able to see that. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later this morning, but I know there's quite a bit going on. I thought we'd start out. We've got a kind of a celestial event going on. Have a full lunar eclipse coming tomorrow night, Sunday night, starting about 11:40 Eastern. That should be about 10:40 Central, and of course 9:40 out here Mountain Time. And but it's a full lunar eclipse, and there it's also a wolf moon and a super blood moon, they call it. And the wolf moon is just the first full moon of the calendar year. That's a term it gets. But it is being called a super blood moon eclipse. Should be pretty visible depending on the weather throughout all of North America. And, you know, the colors that come out, we'll see. Tim, I know you... several years ago, you had a couple of very good articles because we've been, it seems like in the last few years, we've had more and more of these blood moons and of these lunar eclipses, more so than I remember earlier in my life. I know, Tim, you had a great article in our newsletter a little while back, and then we just had another one, but... anyway, it's a reminder. I personally don't think that it's bringing in doomsday, but when you read through the scriptures where it talks about, you know, the moon becoming like blood, whether it's in Revelation 6 or in Isaiah or in Joel, if you read through them and you see that there seems to be a common denominator, actually a couple of them. One, God's bringing his wrath. And it usually is a type of a foreshadowing to that, but then also it's an opportunity for repentance. It's a time, and I think an example and an opportunity for his people, for us, our people, to see that God puts these things in motion, and he brings these signs, and it's not just for death and destruction, but it's also a sign for people to kind of straighten up and fly right, for people to return to him, to see that he is in control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a reminder of a reckoning event. And I think that, you know, we've got so many things going on, like all these abortions and you know, we look at how many people are dying in sinful situations across the world, and you know, it's there as it's a sign in the skies for God.
Yes. Yes, it very much is. So again, folks, that's Sunday evening, not tonight, but tomorrow night, about 11:40 Eastern, be about 10:40 Central and 9:40 here Mountain Time. And if you have clear skies, I'm not going to call it a treat, but I guess it really is. Because for those that are in him, for those that have been, that not only believe the word, but have confessed their sins and repented and been baptized for the remission of sins, and that walk in Christ, it really will be an event. I'm looking forward to it. If we have clear skies tomorrow night, I'll sure bring the kids and the family out and bundle them up and we'll get out and take a look. Because it does. It is a reminder of the great God that we serve that created the stars and call them by name and put the heavenlies in the motion that they're in. And makes these things rare enough to where, you know, it doesn't happen every month. But
it's not going to happen for another 10 years.
Right. It's not.
Is what they're saying. And
You know, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I think I'll go with what the Bible says, that these are signs and warnings for our people to repent before it's too late. And even this Tuesday, I woke up about 3:30 in the morning, like I do quite a bit, and the whole master bedroom was lit up with a moon that was kind of buried in the mountains on the west side, peeking up through the mountains, and it looked to me like it was a super moon already. And after it was reflecting off the ice on the lake, it just lit up like it was pretty much daylight out there. And that's eerie, you know. Mm-hmm. To me, that's something I haven't seen in a long time. And the fact that it's over in the west in the mountains too, I don't recall that too often either. Seems to me it's more to the south or to the east, at least from my perspective of where I live. So yeah, these are definitely signs. And then when you look at everything that's going on in the world, the day draws nigh. That's all I can say. Nobody knows the day or the hour, not even the Son, but only the Father. The signs are written on the wall and in the skies.
Yeah, I'm pretty much all around us. I mean, every day that goes on is another day that's closer and closer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and just because the only thing in the news right now are some political event that's going on, we're still having earthquakes all over the place, and tsunamis and floods and mudslides. Whether it's California, they're talking about humongous amounts of snow on the East Coast. I mean, these aren't. Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, we're seeing all this stuff going on. Yellowstone was in the news again just yesterday about, they're still very concerned over this lava level in the dome rising. God's given us these warnings, you know. I mean, and repent or perish. So, like, that's, yeah, it's another warning, and the Bible clearly states that it is, that those signs are those signs of that call.
Amen. Amen. You know, Acts 2:19 through 21 is a good example of that. It's referencing the Old Testament, but here we have it that you know, and this is something that even you New Testament Christians that might be tuned in can see and read and hopefully understand. And he says, "I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And you know, that's one of many verses that talk about that very thing. Signs in the sky above and on the earth below. And Tim, I think, like you mentioned, we are seeing that very thing. The volcano activity that we have seen, not only out in Hawaii, but in other parts of the country, there's rumblings going on. There's certainly rumblings going on. And the Word explains it to us, that that's what they are. They are signs. And they are signs to drive His people to repentance, like you said, John.
Yeah, it goes along with, I think, here in Colorado, we're already feeling the effects of Californication. No offense to our brothers and sisters in California, but Northern California at least, that are still somewhat sane. But we have a new gay Jewish governor, and that's what he prefers to be called, the gay Jewish governor. And we both, the House and the Senate, went demon rat, and now they, you know, they're not wasting any time. In fact, the governor proclaimed here right about the time he got into office that his goal is the same as California's goal, to be zero emission, the whole state to be zero emission by 2040 in 20 years, effectively declaring war on gas, oil, and coal in the state, and saying how more people need to be driving electric cars, and we're going to find new sources for manufacturers of electric cars. And, you know, so basically we're reliving the abomination years here in Colorado. And then just when you think it can't get any more disgusting, guess what? We might as well be like California, too. And now it's legal to defecate or urinate on the sidewalks in Denver, thanks to our demon rat Congress. So basically the first step that happened was the decriminalization of marijuana, and that brought in a whole host of new undesirables into the state. And then fortunately California just legalized it as well, so a lot of them went back. But it says Denver City Council recently voted to decriminalize a whole host of very disgusting activities, including defecating and urinating in public. Here are the details of the story. Democrat Mayor Michael Hancock and city officials explained the new ordinances are designed to protect immigrants, both legal and other kinds. Yeah, right. From unintended consequences. These consequences were fines and long jail terms that were customary in place for violating these types of offenses. And then basically they've decriminalized camping in public or, get this, private land. I'm sure that's going to end well. But I don't know. This, you know, the Bible talks about it too. If you're one of his and you're living in a city, you really need to do whatever you can to get out of that city, because those cities are going to become Sodom and Gomorrah long before some of the rural areas will, and you have a better chance of being with kin on outside of the cities, because I don't think our people much desire to live in the city. I know I don't. I prefer to pitch a tent somewhere than live in the city.
Amen.
Well, and if you look at some of the things that the Pulse has done, too, I mean, it's basically the what I see happening is he's going to bankrupt the state of Colorado.
Absolutely.
You start pulling out all the oil and the gas, and, you know, you start going against the people, too. I mean, talk about what's been – we've seen this happen in California time and time again, but, I mean, everybody went to the polls and they voted on the oil and gas regulations. They were trying to come up with regulations basically on this last in this last election that would eliminate 90% of the oil wells in the state of Colorado. And it's like, how is that possible? I mean, where do people think the money in the state comes from? And so they voted against it.
But that's the stupidity of the people these days, you know. They think, oh, we defeated Amendment 12, which limited their goal was to limit drilling within 2,500 feet of any residence or public
institution,
building or whatever. And like you said, that would eliminate 90% of the drilling. So they count the victory. You know, I almost laughed on the morning after the election when everybody was celebrating the victory. And I go, really? Do you not realize that we just got a demon rat, queer, Jewish governor, and we lost the House and the Senate? You don't
think that it doesn't matter
what you vote for.
No.
Did you not learn your lesson from Amendment 2 when Pastor Peters showed everybody point blank what it is that they do?
Right.
They don't care. It's not a government of the people for the people. The city council ruled that they thought it was in the city's best interest to go ahead and pass the non-discrimination laws against homosexuals.
Well, they're communist bastards is what they are. I mean, you know, they come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what they do. And they just gloat about it, too. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
2 Timothy 3. Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you look at, he just called for an allocation of, taken $70 million basically from the Volkswagen emissions settlement.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
it's taking it and putting it towards transferring all the vehicles, the Colorado Department of Transportation vehicles, over to electricity. And
And putting electric charging stations every 15 miles down the highways.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, but you want to get rid of the oil and gas, and where do you think the electricity is coming from? You just talk about insanity, but it's on a road to bankruptcy, basically. You know, and you're talking with this queer governor that comes in and put $25 million into his own campaign to become governor. And you can't tell me that he didn't buy, you know, and the thing is, you know, if that would have been a Republican, they would have been asking, where did this money come from? Where, what about this? What about that? No, this guy shows up and $25 million into his own campaign, I mean, just gone. You can't tell me that there's not some backslapping going on somewhere.
Yeah, there's definitely an agenda there, right?
We know they cheat too in elections, and there's no doubt in my mind that that's what took place.
Oh, exactly. Good. I know.
Well, because everybody I talk to is like, no, you know, they're all, there's still, the majority of the people in this state are still, in my opinion, at least love the country. They may not all be Christian, but most of them are too, in my opinion. Obviously Christianity has its different definitions, and Judeo-Christian is completely different than what we believe, but there's still good people here that care for each other, care for the country, and just want to be left alone, and that's unfortunately, this election fraud is far and wide as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed. Yeah.
And again, we reap what we sow as a nation, you know, we reap what we sow as a country, and the sad thing is, you know, God, I mean, it's not sad, I guess, but God made us that our desire isn't to rule over man and to destroy, to have control, you know. Our desire is to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and not infringe upon anybody's life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness, unless, of course, what they do affects our family. I mean, the biggest thing that people don't understand is these homosexuals and transgenders and these stupid drag queens that want to read to our children in the libraries and all that. Guess what? None of those reproduce. What do? They recruit. And what they want to do is recruit your children. So if you finally wake up and you take a stand against these things, these people have no power, zero power. If we all stand together and we just say no. Remember how our pastor used to tell us, you just put your tongue on the roof of your mouth and it comes out pretty rather easily. You just say no, period. And we better learn how to do that.
Amen. Amen. Well, and 2 Timothy 3:3 talks about those men being, you know, it has the whole list of lovers of self, and they're boastful and ungrateful and unholy and without self-control, haters of good, treacherous, reckless. It goes on, but down there in verse 9 it says, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes's and Jambres' folly was also. And, you know, that's a, it's like, I love that part of that chapter where their folly will be obvious to all. And we just got to keep on educating and praying and petitioning and doing what we're doing right here. Just getting people to realize that you can say no and mean it and stand up to them. And when you see those signs of those people who think they're God and think that they're going to buy an election and ram things down people's throat, that God's not going to stand for it, and I think that we shouldn't either, you know, I mean, as far as that goes.
Amen. How's things in Louisiana? Josh, are they still...
Well, I don't know if y'all can hear the thunder or not. It's storming pretty well, but... Tim, another part of that is don't get worn down, because they do keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And but that's our job, is to protect our families, to protect our people, to protect our way of life, you know. And we're supposed to do everything like we've done so far. So we need to take it seriously and not quit fighting. I know there are days whenever you look around you and, you know, look like you're surrounded, because of a lot of situations we are. I mean, we're scattered, and there's, you know, not a lot of us normally around. We got to kind of stand in, and I say us, I don't mean God's people, but I mean people that have an idea of what's going on. But we got to be those ones that are willing to stand and to say no. And to keep saying that, you know, to be consistent. That's just our jobs.
Amen.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not in our DNA to run for office and to be in government and things like that. But, you know, maybe it's time that we get involved a little more. And I actually believe that if we did, and we stood on the biblical principles, and did not back down or waver, we weren't lukewarm, but we stood strong, hot for the Lord, that God would reward that. And it may come to that. It's hard to say.
And you got to wonder, too, is part of that because we're just being lazy, you know, because it's easier to follow than it is to be the one out in front and leading. Just like it's the same thing in a relationship with a husband and a wife, you know. Most of the time when a man won't lead, well, then the wife is going to stand up and be the dominant one in the relationship. And, which I grant you, that's the times and a lot of different things put together. But I do believe we're supposed to stand up and be the leaders. It doesn't come natural for me. I agree with you on that, John, to be the guy that's the leader or the, I guess the boss. I hate that word, but I'd rather be doing the work. You know, it's more enjoyable for me than it is to be guiding other folks doing the work. But
if
we don't rock somebody else, that's gonna
the bureaucracy that gets you. I mean, they openly admit when I moved here 25 years ago, Colorado was, in my opinion, one of the best kept secrets. Beautiful state.
Oh, agree.
Wasn't very crowded. Everything was reasonable. You could buy a house here in any subdivision, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, nice house, big yard, fenced in, 2.5 car garage, $60,000. That same house today is now $360,000. Because I even looked at the one that I bought for $60,000 back 25 years ago as a rental. But anyways, you know, they targeted. They admit it. The Californians, the liberals. They targeted Colorado, and guess what? They've reached their goal. They've accomplished their goal, and Texas is next. And in fact, they've already got Austin, and they're working on Dallas. And I guess it's about high time that our people, who are called by His name, stand up and start to try to take this country back. I mean, it's going to have to happen in from the cities and the towns on up. Really, because that's how they took it.
The same thing, Minnesota, Wisconsin, too. I mean, you look at what's happened over there and over the last 20 years, you know. We used to drive, me and John used to get in the truck and drive all over the country, and we spent a lot of time back over there, and, you know, we loved it when we got back there. I mean, it was, you know, you're out in the country, and it was our kind of people. There was farmers, there was dairy farmers, there was, you know, people that worked with their hands, and you know, they went into all those places that were just paradises and destroyed them.
Yeah. Well, look at the Muslim towns now. You know, you got several areas in Michigan. It used to just be, you know, Dearborn, and every year it grew more and more. And now you got areas in Minnesota. And guess what? I think we have 3 or 4 representatives now that are Muslim.
Yes.
That got sworn in. On the Quran, that's significant, whether you realize it or not. But don't tell me it doesn't matter when they purposely commit some, set up these Somalian jurisdictions and these Muslim jurisdictions. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. And just like the Bible says, in the blink of an eye, you know, everything that we once had will be gone. The stranger will go higher and higher, and you'll go lower and lower. If you can't see that that's what's taking place, then you better be praying for eyes to see and ears to hear, and ask God to remove the scales from your eyes.
Amen.
You're talking about the cities and then them not being a place to be earlier. When we were in Denver last year, I just couldn't believe there in the park there were dozens and dozens of people camped out, and that's what they were. You know, they had signs and they were panhandling, they were begging this and that, and they were all out there smoking their weed. And so I can just imagine now, since legal for that to be there, and then also they can defecate and urinate, I can just imagine what a draw that's going to be to Denver there.
Well,
mark my words, Colorado will be the next sanctuary state to you. You mark my words.
Yep. Well, and we've seen
it. They're already working on that.
That's right. And we've seen it in California.
You know, they're going to have the place. They want to set up the places where people can go and they can shoot up their heroin and they can do this and they can do that. And yeah, it's...
Yeah, medically supervised. Paid for by the taxpayers.
Exactly.
Places that have medical supervision so that when you shoot up, you have a clean needle and they show you how to do it where you can't... hurt yourself or kill yourself. And really, you know, the things that you can't even imagine are just like the Bible said, you know, as it was in the days of Noah.
And we see those things in San Francisco, how much money, millions and millions, that they've spent in having to clean the streets of the needles and the human feces and just the filth. And economically, how companies that used to come to San Francisco and used to come to other cities in California for, their big medical conventions that would bring millions and millions into the local economy. I mean, that San Francisco tourism is, or has been, the number one, the number one draw and the number one part of the economy there for years. And companies are starting to, you know, because it's the same thing, Josh, that you saw in the park in Denver. Their people aren't safe when they bring them in. They bring them in for a week and have big conventions. And the people aren't safe. They can't get around. It's filthy. It stinks. And people aren't going to continue. Businesses aren't going to continue to spend money and to do things like that. When they have a filthy place, and you're right, instead of wanting to make Colorado better, it's the next California is what they're pushing, and just just that alone, the millions and millions that they have had to spend in California in just cleaning the streets, and you see pictures, they have had whole tent cities come up. There's not just one tent city in San Francisco, but they are all over the state. And it is it is just another ruination, and now we're seeing it just to the south of us here in Colorado.
So it's interesting. We were having a conversation last night, me and my wife and a couple of friends went out to dinner. And we were talking about New Orleans, and they were telling us about Bourbon Street down there. And I'd never been down there, but my friend was telling me that after Hurricane Katrina, that's the cleanest they'd ever seen New Orleans. And it didn't have the rank filthy smell, and it wasn't trashy, and and what have you. And I was just sitting there thinking about that, what happens, what takes place whenever he does a cleansing.
Amen.
Which is back to, I'm pretty sure it's back to the way it was before, but.
Oh, yeah, it's a voodoo. big voodoo place?
Well, and we've talked about all this stuff going on against our country before, as far as we continue to you know, cry out and warn people about it. But I was kind of dwelling on some of those things the other day after Jason and I talked, and we talked about this asymmetric warfare, and you've got all of the elements, the soldiers coming up, which are what they're calling them illegal. Well, they call them immigrants. I call them illegal aliens, but they're soldiers, and you've got biological warfare going on against you. They call it disease, whether it's tuberculosis or this new form of polio that's coming in. You've got chemical warfare going on against you, and that's the fentanyl and the opioids. You've got political subversion going on. El Chapo's over there bragging about how he, you know, bought and sold elections south of the border to affect situations north of the border. And, you know, God only knows how much of the money that's going on or going through these elections or different things. I mean, $24 million for a gubernatorial election. I mean, these are all things that just, you know, they just boggle the mind as far as how that all goes on. But it's still, if you add it all up, it sure sounds like it's an attack to me.
Well, and for years now, you heard people say, oh, those, you know, the army, those troops, they've got families here too, and they're not going to turn on their own people. And, well, if you get enough other people that aren't their people, you think they care about us, any?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, they don't. That's one of the reasons, you know, that our military has done that for years. Somebody's alarm's going off. That's a pretty good alarm. That'll wake you up in the morning. You know, on another note, I saw this. I don't know if you guys saw this. Our pastor had foretold it. He saw the handwriting on the wall. He knew what it meant, and now it has been confirmed that white American births are below the replacement level in every state of the Union. There was only two states, South Dakota and Utah, that had birth rates that were at the replacement level, and that's at 2.2, 2.1 children per woman. And that's for white babies being born, basically. Even black women in the United States only have a replacement level in 12 states, while, get this, Hispanic women had the largest share of birth rates above replacement levels in 29 states. Okay, so just those three numbers. White women having children at the replacement level, not above it, but at it, only in two states, South Dakota and Utah. Black women having births above replacement level in 12 states, and Hispanic women having birth rates above replacement levels in 29 states. When you couple that, or when you throw one more statistic in there, that the Los Angeles basin area, the Los Angeles area, has more anchor babies. And anchor babies, had to explain this to a guy in town the other day. Anchor babies, of course, are where these illegal aliens, these illegal invaders, have come in and had a child here. And then the child gains citizenship and therefore is it anchors the parents to be allowed the benefits that are given them here. The L.A. area has more anchor babies than Wyoming has residents. And we're right at 500,000 in the state of Wyoming. And the L.A. area has more anchor babies. And those are foreigners. Those are not, they might be American-born, but they're not American parents. They are Hispanic, Guatemalan, whatever, in anything else you can imagine. And so, you know, this is where we're at. This post-millennial generation, and they call that the 6 to 21-year-olds, and most of us have children in that category, 6 to 21-year-olds, post-millennial, I don't know what they call them, Generation Y or Zebra or what, but that is the first generation where whites are not the majority there either. That is the ones that are in the education system from 6 to 21. And so the changes that are coming on this nation are real. We are seeing them. The white families are not having enough children to maintain our numbers. They just aren't. And however, the other races are. The other races are. And
I don't think
the Bible says it's a remnant of a remnant. So
that's right.
You know,
I don't think most people realize the significance of what our president did in, I guess it was around late November, to send troops down to the border to cut off these caravans that were coming from Guatemala. Apparently there's even more that are forming.
There are more forming.
To get over here. But I mean, we really are at a point of no return as far as the open borders. And the enemies of God know that, and that's why it's a fight, you know, to the end. But I received a text from one of the men, and they're right, you know. We can't complain about the things that are going on in our state, try to blame it on California or whatever. The reality is the things that happen in this state are because not enough good people stood up and did something at the right time. I think, you know, I'd love nothing more than to have California, the whole state, taken back for our people. It's a beautiful state. I remember going there when I was a kid. You know, that when you lived in the Midwest, you dreamed about going to California,
right,
to the beaches. But it's not like that anymore, unfortunately, in most of the southern areas. The north is still our people. You know, those are God-fearing people that work by the sweat of their brow and live in the mountains. And again, all they want to do is be left alone. But, you know, when you have these politicians that tax them to death, those are the kind of things that happen. But the reality is they have targeted Colorado, and they have come into this state and pushed their ways upon this state. And shame on us for allowing it to happen, just like Josh says. You know, you can say that we don't get involved in this stuff. That's the easy way to get out of it, but bottom line is it's probably because we are lazy and we don't want to actually fight the fights that need to be fought in the political realm too.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's been a lot more places that have been under attack. You look at the laws that they put into play in Nebraska in the last couple of years, Iowa, and I mean, there's different fronts. It's just people need to realize that this is warfare. We've been engaged in warfare and continue to and to fight back. That's what I see happening.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I've seen that they're talking about the fact that the SNAP program, or I guess that's food stamps, the same thing. They're talking about it being shut off at the end of January. But it's interesting to me because, of course, you read all kinds of this and that as far as, and there's 28 million people on there, which is far less than there was during the Obama administration. But I think it's interesting to note that Trump was already kind of reworking some of that toward the fact that, per God's plan, that, you know, they needed to work if they were gonna do that. And he was setting that up for, work for food thing.
Yes.
So, you know, I thought that was, I thought that had, some interesting things going on. And it's amazing to me. I see God's hand in so much of this stuff because, of course, the media situation seems to think that all this is going to blow back on him in a negative sort of way. And his approval ratings are very high. And we know that, as a general rule, the people who are approving of what he's doing are godly people who want our country back and want to do what God's people do, and what John said really rings home. You know, we want to just worship God, work, raise our families, which is another reason probably the family replacement rate is going down. We've got more people than ever struggling and fighting and trying to figure out what to do. There's no security in our own homes. Right. You know, we see those kind of things going on.
Amen.
Well, how has anybody been affected by a government shutdown?
No. What shutdown?
That's significant too, really. That's 800,000 employees, and I was reading an article the other day that makes total sense that here I think tomorrow is 30 days, and after 30 days they can furlough these employees so that they can get unemployment. And the good news is after a certain period of time, extending it all the time during the Abomination administration, but after a certain period of time that those benefits run out, and finally we can get rid of, you know, a big chunk of the federal government that's obviously bloated because not many people are feeling the pinch from the government being shut down, which I think will severely backfire on the Democrats. So in a lot of ways, I think our president plays chess. Sometimes I think he plays 4D chess. And
yeah. Well, you know, along those lines of what you said, Tim, about the SNAP benefits, I read a report back on January 10th. I remember that date, that the president was directing members of the USDA and some of the his cabinet members to make sure that those benefits were covered, at least those benefits, those SNAP benefits, were covered through February. And, you know, I haven't seen anything else on it, but again, I think that ties in with what you're saying, John, about our president playing chess. You know, he's thinking ahead. He knows that what this is going to take, and he knows that there's a lot of people affected by those things. So I know that even here in Laramie, you know, we've only got it was in the paper that there's only about not even 200, about 187 federal employees that live in this area that are fixing to be 30 days. And and you know the local food banks have just opened up. They haven't run out of food yet. They've just opened up, and they had an article that said some of the people, it was a family in town that are federally employed, and they went down and volunteered at the soup bank. They said, you know, we've cleaned our house, we've done about all we can, we're bored, we want to come help. And they were actually coming down and helping, not getting food from the soup kitchen, but helping serve. And so who could have foreseen that? And so you multiply that out to where, you know, maybe God's people step up a little bit with a little more charity, a little more help, if they see the need, if the need is there. And those people are stepping up and having a little more Christian attitude as well. And so those are just a couple of very small positives that are coming out of this that would not have happened without this much needed shutdown.
Well, I think
one of the things that's happening too is you can definitely see that some of the higher ups are controlling what happens. They've had a lot of these state parks across the country that have been, you know, the trash hasn't been emptied and they've needed work, and people have stood up and tried to volunteer at the state parks, and they've been run off by the sheriff's department, police department, you know, telling them that they're not allowed to be in there. And they're like, hey, you know, we're cleaning up, we're trying to get this place cleaned up because there's no workers there.
Right.
And, you know, they've been run off, and you can, you know, you definitely, and it's, you look at the discretion on it is because there's certain parks that people have been into, and everybody's like, okay, yeah, it's great. We don't need this. We don't need these employees there because everybody showed up, picked up the trash, picked the leaves, cut the grass. I mean, took care of it, and it looks nicer than it ever's been. Then there's other places where as soon as the volunteers show up and try to get something done and try to take care of it, they get run off.
Right.
So and that shows you, you know, the difference in a police department or sheriff or whoever's ever controlling that county on what they're doing.
Yeah, I think our president understands too that if you cut people off from their food stamps, it's just a matter of time before they eat each other. And the fact, you know, the one thing that would be more detrimental as far as creating a zombie class of people would be to cut off their prescription meds, when you think of how many people on prescription meds. But I thought one of the highlights of the week, honestly, was the fact that Democrats who have already taken a vacation to Puerto Rico, from what I read, right after the shutdown, and then now they were supposed to go to Brussels and some other places and then go to Afghanistan for support the troops kind of thing, whatever, you know, right, Democrats supporting the troops.
Yeah.
But anyways, the fact that President Trump waited until...
I thought that was hilarious.
Was outside and then canceled the flight that they were going to use an Air Force jet to fly. And I think the only thing he could have done better was if he waited till they got to Afghanistan and called the plane back and canceled the return flight. That probably would have been a better scenario than canceling the flight on the way out. But it's just, I don't know, it shows in a lot of ways, in my opinion, that our president does play chess.
Amen. Amen.
I thought that was hilarious.
He's an expert chess player, too. I looked that up one time.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the biblical principle that you can apply is, by their fruits you shall know them. And so what type of fruit has been coming out of, you know, out of this? There's a Montana Senator, Steve Daines, Republican from Montana, had a March for Life this past Friday, and they are pushing and promoting a pro-life caucus in the Senate. And, you know, it's because there's a different spirit in the land. Here's a quote from him. He says, "President Trump is standing with us and our pro-life colleagues in the House, fighting back against Nancy Pelosi and her reckless pro-abortion war on children. We will continue to stand with President Trump, protecting our pro-life achievements. And more importantly, we'll be standing with all of you." And it's because, so there's some fruit. There's some fruit. You know, seeds are being planted to where other people are picking up the mantra and picking up and going with it. You know, I've mentioned before, not that he's a saint, but it seems like Senator Ted Cruz even grew a pair, in addition to his little beard that he's got going. It seems like he's grown a pair and kind of back on the right track, at least in some matters. Again, not calling him a saint. And Jason, I know you pointed out some of the things that he's done in the past, but it just seems like that there's a shift. It doesn't seem like it. There is. There's a shift. And you have people like this Montana Senator Daines that are, you know, doing more. And it's by their, what are their fruits? Well, their fruits, you know, to desire to end abortion, that will be a great fruit when that comes to pass.
Well, in this move of, I think it's interesting, this toxic masculinity move that's going on all about. And I think the thing that we need to realize is that viruses and bacteria, when you put when the body, you know, the white blood cells attack and all these other things go on, that's toxic to the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good for the body. And I think we're seeing I think we're seeing some stirring up going on of the masculinity, and they can't get rid of them any other way because you can't seem to stir up a good war again lately. So, you know, they're jumping in on this toxic masculinity issue. So, and our pastor talked about how they attack. Well, when they attack the traditional roles of men and women under God's way of doing things, and we see that going on all around this land right now. So,
It is funny that you say that because it, at least here anyway, beards are like an epidemic. I mean, the guys are growing their beards out and they're swinging the other way against the feminism that has been put out there, so much. You know, that's trending is men acting like, dressing like, men.
Amen.
More so than, than what
praise God
in the recent past.
Amen.
So that's definitely a blessing because we are different. And I mean, they are pressing in every avenue that they can think about. It's erasing the lines between men and women and the transgender stuff and all this. And they desperately want that to be, you know, normal, the new normal for us. And it's just so important that we don't let that just slide by, you know, be lazy, not take the fight. And by golly, if somebody, if a company or a business or what have you takes that stance, well, we don't even do business with them anymore. We need to stick to our guns and find somebody that does share the same beliefs and ideas that we do. We need to speak with our pocketbooks. You know, and not just say, oh, well, it's so much easier. They got the best this or that or whatever. That definitely does affect those businesses and commerce whenever you, if you don't do business with them, they'll either shut up or they'll go out of business once, eventually.
That's right.
And pushing their agendas.
Amen. Well, guys, we are almost out of time. I want to thank you all for joining us, and we do want to invite you to church with us tomorrow, Remnant, and you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and just plan on spending the morning with us. We'll have a little bit of everything for you, and including communion, including a timeless pulpit truth, and John, looking forward to a live message from you tomorrow. And so, folks, we encourage you to not forsake the assembly, and we thank that our pastor that he foresaw this as well, and with the live video stream and the DVD church and the many ways that we put the messages out on Sunday morning, that you can have fellowship in some way with like-minded believers. So we encourage you to plan on that and join us. And men, thanks for joining us. And guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together. Make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end.